Happy February, our first Sunday of February, 2020. Thank you for joining us. My name is Jim DeJunis, and you're joining the program called Reflections. And we take after our North Carolina Reading Service. We're hoping that we're breathing words into your life. And the Reading Service has been doing that very thing since 1983. Our program is intended for the blind and print-impaired audience. And for the next 30 minutes, we're going to be reading some scripture. We're going to be finishing the book of Matthew. And then we will have a prayer, of course, or two. And then we will also read from a book called Jesus Calling, which is written by Sarah Young, who's a wonderful Christian author. So let's begin with some prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, as always. And Lord, we say a special prayer for those that are in need this day, perhaps those in our audience or maybe their family members that are ailing from a physical or emotional stress. We pray for our fine nation and for those we know and love, and for those we don't know or don't necessarily have fond feelings for. We pray for those that are in need of work or in need of food, in need of shelter. And Heavenly Father, we ask that the love you have for us, that we may share with others. And Father, we learned last week that to love you with our hearts, mind, and souls is what we're called to do. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's what we will try to do. And we'll use these words of encouragement to begin that process. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus, and we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus Calling for this fine day in February. I am renewing your mind, Sarah Young writes. When your thoughts flow freely, they tend to move toward problems. Your focus gets snagged on a given problem, circling around you in attempts to gain mastery. Your energy is drained away from other matters because of this negative focus. Worst of all, you lose sight of me, being God. A renewed mind is presence-focused. Train your mind to see me in every moment, every situation. Sometimes you find me in your surroundings, a lilting birdsong, a loved one's smile, a golden sunlight upon the face. At other times, you must draw inward to find me. I am always present in your spirit. Seek my face, speak to me, and I will light up your mind. And that is supported by a couple of scripture verses. One is from Psalm 105, chapter verse 4. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. And then Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That is actually a scripture that I have in my little daily prayer book that I read every single day. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his perfect, good, and pleasing will. Amen and amen. So, folks, last week we were in the midst of Matthew, towards the end of the book of Matthew. We read chapters 21 through 25, and we can recall that we learned about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey. This became the first symbol of his impending death and resurrection. But Jesus wasn't quite finished yet. He still had things to teach us. In fact, he had many things to teach us. He shared some parables about the vineyard owners and their dreadful tenants. He shared about the parable of the wedding feast and the folks that were invited that did not come and the folks that did wind up coming. And probably most of all, he taught us about the most important teaching in the Bible, and what is the greatest command? And that command is to love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your heart and all your mind. To love each other, love yourselves as your neighbors, love your neighbors as yourself. That there could be no better lesson, no better reflection of Scripture than Jesus saying, "This is the greatest command, to love the Lord your God." So we'll finish Matthew today. We've got three chapters left, 26, 27, and 28. And in these chapters, we will... actually, I apologize. We actually have chapter 25 that we need to get to as well. So we'll have four chapters today. And we'll start right now, chapter 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are running out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough oil for both of us and you. But for both us and you, instead, go out to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The 10 virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came and said, "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." And we kind of learned that last week, right? Not even the Son knows when the end of time will come, only the Father. And here's a parable kind of talking about that. Here's another parable. Jesus tells the parable about the loaned money. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with the 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting what you did not sow and gathering what you had not scattered. So I was afraid and went out and hid the talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gathered what I have not scattered. Well then, you should have put my money on a deposit with the bankers so that when I returned I could have received with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That is really, really an interesting parable. And I want you to think about this. You all have a talent. Every single one of us has a talent. And God asks us to use that talent for his benefit. Preach the gospel, read scripture, pray, help the fellow neighbor out, a friend out, a family member, donate time, money. If we're not doing that, when God does come back, he's going to look at us and say, "What did you do with the gifts I've given you? How will you respond? How will I respond? Are we using the gifts God has given us?" We all have them. They're just different. We all have them. They're just different. "When the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on the left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or in need of clothing or sickness or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Chapter 26, 27, and 28 deal with the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's begin there. Chapter 26. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. And they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him, but not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot amongst the people. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man named Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare for me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him, being Jesus, over. On the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? He replied, Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, The teacher says my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did just as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclined at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. They were very sad and began to say to one another, Surely not I, Lord. Jesus replied, The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, Surely not I, Rabbi. Jesus answered, Yes, it is you. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with my Father in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, This very night will all fall away on account of me, for it is written. Excuse me, I'm going to repeat that. Then Jesus told them, This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on the account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away from me, unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them asleep because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away one more time and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for the sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do not think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have to come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this all has to take place. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death, but they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now we have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him, and others said, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you?" Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out of the gateway, where another girl saw him, and said to the people, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again, and with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on them, and he swore to them, I do not know the man. Immediately the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. How many times, so a little reflection here, how many times have we read Scripture or heard Scripture or were preached Scripture or lived Scripture? And we know the right thing to do and we don't do it. Here's a perfect example of the man who was with Christ for 3 years, every single day, and saw his living and his dying. And he did the same. So God does not look for perfection in us. He does not expect perfection. What he expects, though, is love. And with that love, he gives us grace. And with that love, he gives us forgiveness. And with that love, we will have him eternally. Amen and amen. We have two more chapters to read, and we have about 8 minutes to do it. So I'm going to read a little quickly, and I apologize in advance. Chapter 27. And early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Jesus threw the money into the temple and left. And then he went away and hanged himself. We'll pick it up with verse 15. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked him, Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in dreams because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to execute Jesus. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with the Jesus who is called the Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, Crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, Crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, Let his blood be on us and on our children. And then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed them over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff on his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him, and they took the staff, and they struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes, and then they led him away to be crucified. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene. His name was Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. Then they crucified him. They divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him. Above his head, they placed a written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right hand and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults at him. In the sixth hour, until the ninth hour, darkness came over the entire land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they called, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them rang ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine and vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs were broken open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs in Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb that he had cut out of rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting opposite the tomb. Chapter 28. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went off to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know what you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the other disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away from here. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Well, that concludes our reading of Matthew, chapters 1 through 28. And thank you for sharing your time with me and being inspired by Jesus' love. This has been Reflections on the North Carolina Reading Service. Please give us some feedback about the program by calling 919-832-5138. And this program, again, has been intended for the blind and print impaired audience. And I wish you God's peace this day and every day.